Stand if you are able. Words from our Lord, Daniel 1:1-8. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azarian. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Words from our Lord. He may be seated.
Good morning, church. Good morning. It's so good to have you here with us in such a beautiful day. And if you are a sports fan like me, this is a big week for us. And there's so much going on in the sports world. And I really appreciate watching sports. I majored in kinesiology, which is a study of movement. And I really appreciate the spectatorship of sports. And in the last week, we have the World Cup happening in Vancouver, and also in Mexico, also in States. And if you're a basketball fan like me, this is a playoff week. And just yesterday, the New York Knicks win the series 4-1. They defeat the San Antonio Spurs, and they claim their first NBA championship for the past 53 years. They haven't won a title in such a long time, and the city of New York is going so crazy, where the owner of the Knicks have to make an announcement to remind them to be safe, and they will have a formal celebration afterward. And the game is not even happening in New York. It's happening in San Antonio. So it's a away game. But people are so excited for what happened yesterday and last week. And that reminds me, the last time when the city of New York was that crazy, it's about 14 years ago. In 2012, Linsanity happened. And if you don't follow basketball, I'll give you a little bit of background in what happened. So 14 years ago, I was in high school and I was watching basketball, and all of a sudden, this young man, Jeremy Lin, was playing so well, and no one had heard of him. The New York Knicks were going through a season where their starting player was injured and their roster are not so good. They're almost tanking the season for a better draft next year. And it's a period that no one expects they would be able to do well. But in that one game, when the New York Knicks coach pulled up Jeremy Lin from the bench and asked him to play, and he did so well, and he was so prepared for that one moment. This is a dream coming true. An underdog who was not drafted, he was not drafted when he graduated from college, and he was a bit shorter for compared to other point guard, and he's the underdog, and no one knows what will happen to him. No one knows him, but when the coach calls him up to play on the court, and he did so well, and he's so prepared, and he leads the Knicks win 7 consecutive games, and that was unheard of. And they made books. He made it to the cover page for New York Times magazine, and they made movies for him, and it's. They even made a word, Linsanity. It wasn't a word until this happened, to honor what he has bring to the sports world. It's so exciting. And how has that anything to do with this message? And my message today for us is a firm foundation. And when the challenge, when the test comes, we need to have a firm foundation. Jeremy Lin, he did not succeed by accident. He is not someone who is unprepared. When his coach calls him to play from the bench, which he did not expect, but trust me, he has been practicing his skills, his basketball techniques until that moment. He's always ready. So when the challenge comes, he's able to deliver. And today we're looking at the book of Daniel, which is a very fun book and very exciting book. The book of Daniel is both a prophetic book and also apocalyptic book. And it is one of the only book in the Bible. It's written in two languages. The opening and ending of Daniel were written in Hebrew. And This is one of my favorite Old Testament book. There's so much to learn from it, but especially a message for young people and our next generation. Daniel's story is set right after Babylon's first attack on Jerusalem. They had plundered the city and the temple and taking a wave of Israelites into exile. Among all the prisoners, there were 4 men from the royal family and line of David, Daniel and his 3 friends. We have all heard about Daniel and the book of Daniel, and there are so many iconic moments in the book. And we have them refusing the food, which is what we will focus today. We have Daniel gave interpretation to the king Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we have the friends who stand faithful, refuse to bow down to the idol, and had a testimony in the furnace. And we had Daniel, who served multiple generations, and he's able to understand the vision, the handwriting on the wall. And he's also famously known for being thrown into the lion's den. And the picture actually doesn't give us a right idea of how old Daniel was. So when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he was in his mid-80s, and he has been serving multiple generations by that time. But I want to take us back to the very beginning, when Daniel and his friend refused to defile themselves with the king's food and wine. This is a moment where Daniel was first taken away from his home, and his all by himself, learning new language, facing all the challenges. And this is perhaps the hardest thing to do for him. Because at that point, he's not so sure what will happen, and There's so much pressure. And the Lord was with him throughout his life, throughout his journey. And he was building up, he was growing spiritually all along the way. But how is he able to remain faithful at such young age when he was first taken away to Babylon? He must have a very firm foundation where someone must have invested in Daniel, in his spiritual growth, where he's ready when he was taken away. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. This is the background where Jerusalem is not in such good shape. King Nebuchadnezzar is one of the most powerful men at the time. And King Jehoiakim, he's not a very strong king, he's a weak king. And in fact, the southern kingdom, Judah, went to exile under his leadership. And King Nebuchadnezzar, if a secular historian look at this verse, they would think, yeah, of course, the powerful king took over the weak king. What's new? But notice on verse 2, Daniel put it this way, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Along with some of the articles from the temple of God, so he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. And pay attention to the word delivered. This is a very important detail for us to understand the book of Daniel. You see that Daniel is actually a victim of the history that he's around. He didn't ask to be taken away. He didn't ask to be apart from his family, from his faith community. He didn't ask to be picked by King Nebuchadnezzar. He had no choice. He's from a royal family. He's healthy. He's good looking. He's smart. He's educated. He has aptitude for every kind of learning. And now So all of those came naturally, where he had no choice but to be qualified to be picked by King Nebuchadnezzar. But being a victim of that part of history, Daniel does not complain. And he says, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into King Nebuchadnezzar's hand. He understands that the history, that part of world history, is under the Lord's control. And he had faith and he had understanding of that God has a plan and he's making his plan happen in ways that we cannot fathom. And in our personal life, our life goes up and down. But we have to remember that the Lord allows things to go up and down for his glory and his purpose. And my first point for today's message, a firm foundation in community, because the world wants to separate you from the faith community. And in order to resist that, we must have a firm foundation. Here's a picture of a tree. It's actually one of the few real picture in my slides. A lot of my pictures were taken from elsewhere or generated, but this picture is actually a real picture of a tall tree standing strong in the wind. And on the right is a graph showing correlation between a tree's height and how thick the diameter of its trunk. For a tree to stand tall, it needs a firm foundation. Underneath the earth, the roots goes everywhere and it goes deep, grab every bit of nutrition and dirt and expand as far as it can to hold itself. So when the storm comes, when the wind blowing, when there's flood, the tree is able to hold itself, standing strong, not bending down, because it has a firm foundation. Imagine a tree that is being so tall, but has a shallow and not so deep foundation. It will not stand against harsh environment. The king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. So you see that Daniel was and his friends were chosen because they were part of King Nebuchadnezzar's conquering collection. When a king conquers a nation or civilization, a country nearby, what do? They take what is good from that country. And King Nebuchadnezzar has a treasury where he collects all his enemies, all his defeated enemies, their articles and their vessels, their special treasure. And he have it in display, so when a diplomat comes, he's able to show him, "Look, this is what I have conquered." Not only he collects the artifacts, he also collects people. And in this case, he collects people who are from the royal family, from the nobility, and people who are young men who are healthy, good-looking, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, educated. And he will train those people, and he will keep the best of them to serve himself. And then the others, he will send them back to their home country and have them rule over the country he has conquered, but managing the country for Babylon. So Daniel, being one of the young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of Babylonian. So I always picture Daniel as an international student. And being an international student myself, I see a lot of similarities between what has happened to Daniel. And when I was 14, I was studying in States, away from my family, and I was able. I didn't know English back then, and I had to learn everything from scratch. It's a completely different culture, and everything is different. The way we dress, the food we eat, and everything's different. And my mom was with me for the first month, but after the first month, I'm on my own. And I'm living in this whole family that I have not known them before. But however, the first year when I was studying away from my home, I have this app called Skype. you had to be old enough to know this app. Because it is going out of business right now. But it was one of the pioneers that specialized in FaceTime and internet phone calls. And I was able to use Skype to call my parents every day, and that was one of the highlights of my day, almost every day. And I was able to share with them what I learned, what I had for lunch, and they would encourage me and praise me. And that was very helpful when I was a young boy. And I thought that was hard. But going back 20 years, my mom actually was an international student in Chicago and in Moody Bible Institute. And she was engaged, she's on a program where she had to study and she will go back to help the church in China. And the way he communicated with my dad is by writing letters. Any of us has writing any letters before? Or? Yeah, some? Okay. I only done card before. I've not done the letter where I mailed away, but apparently it takes 3 months back then for a letter to go from America all the way to China. And then it takes another 3 months for the letter to send back to the States. So by the time when my dad received the letter back that he sent, the response that my mom had wrote him back, it's already 1/2 year and he don't remember what he had write. So that doesn't work. But fortunately, they are able to call each other. And however, do you know how expensive was it to make an international call back then? My dad makes 81 RMB at time every month. And that was a above average pay because he was working in a university. And takes about 13 to 17 RMB for 1 minute of international call. So my dad would work 1 month and he's able to make a 5 minute phone call. And so sometimes I ask him, you know, if you make a 5 minute phone call, what are you going to eat? And my dad told me he would just stay in my mother's parents' house and eat in his in-laws' house. Wow. So I thought it was hard to be an international student away from home, alone, by myself. And my parents thought I had an easier time. And my mom thought she had a hard time being away from home, being an international student. Can you imagine how hard it would be for Daniel to be away from his family, his faith community, and not knowing what will happen at home? And especially when your country is losing the war and you are taken into this Babylonian kingdom where you don't know much about. So we need a firm foundation to resist the separation the world wants to take us apart. And we also need a firm foundation in truth to resist the indoctrination that the world is trying to put in us. And and pay attention to when King Nebuchadnezzar, he not only select people to serve him, to be educated, to give them his international program, he also teach them the language and the literature of Babylonia. So not only he wants them to be able to respond to his order, be able to carry out his command, he also wants them to understand the culture. You see, Babylon, they specialize in culture worship for you to be homogenized with their culture, because possibly they will send you back to where you come from and to oversee, to do admin work over your country, but under Babylonians' leadership. And can you imagine when Daniel was taken away from his home, his family, and he would probably have to walk nearly 2 weeks to get to the city of Babylon. And when he walked into the city gate, he sees something similar to this, a city that he has never seen before. And Babylon is known for having the most spectacular city at the time. This is going to a big city. And compared to Babylon, Daniel's capital city, Jerusalem, was very small. The city wall of Babylon was 80 feet thick, 320 feet high, and 58 miles long, according to historian. And the city wall is already crazy. Can you imagine what the king's court would look like for Daniel? And when he walked into the king's court, knowing King Nebuchadnezzar's, his royal court, and all the architecture, all the the wealth that he has gathered. It must be a huge culture shock to Daniel. And Babylon, city of Babylon, is known for its idol, for its idolatry. The city has over 1,000 different gods that King Nebuchadnezzar had collected over from all his defeated enemies. It has all the gods except for the one true God, Yahweh, where Daniel's God is not able to have a regular worship when he was away. And you might wonder, okay, I'm not an international student. How is this relevant to me? And I like to quote Dr. John Lennox, and he has written a book on the book of Daniel. It's called Resist the Flow. And and let me quote him. And he put it this way: Daniel and his friend moved geographically into a new culture. But for many of us, we haven't moved geographically. But if you've been around like his age, you would notice the culture around us has changed. I'm sure you can resonate with that. Unfortunately, a lot of the culture shifts away from God rather than towards God. Do you realize in the past 50 years that the government of Canada has made so many changes to reduce the influence of Christianity? The Lord's Day was announced unconstitutional. The prayer room is banned from public school in Quebec quite recently. And public prayer was restricted, and government-led prayer is banned. A government official cannot pray on behalf of the government. And historically, school in Canada has regular prayer. It has a tradition to recite the Lord's Prayer and has a tradition to conduct Christian devotion. But now that is they're able to do it in public school now. The culture, the law, the politics had changed, and teacher can no longer lead prayers in public school anymore. If you read ahead of in Daniel, you will find Daniel have similar struggle where his prayer freedom was compromised, where his enemy targeted him with his prayer. And that's how they got him into the lion's den. So the book of Daniel, you see Dr. John Lennox's way to speak, is hugely important for us today. It's hugely important, especially to our next generation. Our generation live in a post-modernity era, which is arguably one of the most atheist culture that mankind has ever lived in. Modernity has reduced Christianity to a mere religion among many others. Let's come back to Daniel. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So their program is 3 years long, and they are offered a job after they finish their programs. And however, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the raw food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself this way. Daniel is about 15, 16 years old at that time, and this is not him being picky about food. And trust me, the food that King Nebuchadnezzar provide for them are very good food and nutritious and very expensive, and is to the king's standard. But there are a couple of reasons that Daniel would not eat the food. The food might not be kosher, and maybe there's meat or there's food that Israelites are not supposed to eat, which the Lord has commanded them to do so. Or maybe the food are the wine, the maybe there's pork in the food, and Daniel don't want to defile himself by breaking God's command. But most likely, all those foods that are being offered to Daniel are likely to be offered to idols. Those are idol-worshipping food. So the food will be offered, will be given to the idols first, and then will be given to Daniel and his friends. That's why they decide to resolve not to defile themselves with the food and wine. It's not about the food, but about the culture, about the value that Babylon trying to enforce, trying to indoctrinate Daniel with. Daniel has a bottom line where he accept learning the language, accept being in Babylon, and he follows instructions, but there's a bottom line that he refused to have Babylon in him. He's living in Babylon, but Babylon is now living in him. And Daniel is able to make that choice at a young age because he had a firm foundation in the truth. He knows Lord has a plan for him. He knows what to do. He's able to discern what is right, what is not right. When are they crossing the line? Someone must have invested in Daniel and maybe his family, maybe his faith community, maybe his friends. But Daniel must have a very firm foundation to be able to risk his life and resist the food that the king provided him. I came to our last point, a foundation in identity, because the world is trying to give us an alternative identity. The world is trying to label you, trying to pull you away and give you a different identity, where in this generation, it's all about finding ourselves. It's all about individual. It's all about exploring. And that is what the world has to offer. But we need to have a firm foundation in identity. So what is, among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gives them new names. So you see that Daniel and his friends, they have their Hebrew names as an international student group. And they're able to share the gospel by just explaining what their name means. And the name Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means beloved of the Lord, or God is gracious. Mishael means who is like God, meaning no one is like God. God is alone, is special, is holy. Azariah means the Lord is my help. There's a strong gospel message just in the names of Daniel and their friends. But Babylon don't like it. They give them new names. And look at all the new name, all the name. Now Daniel's been given the name means favored by Baal, the idol that Babylonian worships. Hananiah's been given a name, Shadrach, illuminated by Rach. And Mishael and Azariah are all given a name that is completely altered from their original name meaning. Now they are servant, they are worshiping a different God just on the name. Fortunately, Daniel got his name back. And this could only happen because Daniel knows his identity. He knows his true identity. It's in God, in the Lord. So what is our identity as Christians? What is our identity as Christ followers? And we are children of God. John chapter 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We are children of God. And we are new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. We are chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So our citizens in heaven. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 3. Oh, sorry, chapter 3, verse 20. We are God's handiwork. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is our identity as Christian, as Christ's follower. And we need to have a firm foundation knowing who we are. So when the world, when they try to alternate, telling you who you are, your different identity, then you are able to discern and be able to choose. So a quick recap that we talk about how important it is to have a firm foundation. When the challenge comes, we need to be prepared. And we need to think, are we prepared? Is our next generation prepared? Are we doing what we can to prepare them so they're ready for their Babylon? And I want to end in this. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. The articles from the temple of God is a symbol for God's holiness and glory. It's something that is stored in God's, in the Lord's temple to worship, for worshiping him alone. And the king Nebuchadnezzar took it away from the temple. And what he do is he put it among many other articles that he has gathered from other world. And this is what modernity is trying to do. They're making the absolute value to become a relative value. Christianity was reduced to a religion, one of the spiritual choice among many others. And we need to be aware of the danger for that culture shift. Daniel was able to remain faithful, and he was able to be the light in a very hard and dark place. Because someone has invested in him when he was a young boy. And Daniel clearly had a firm foundation, a foundation in community, a foundation in his devotional habit, a foundation in prayer. He had a foundation in the truth. He reads the scripture, he understands the scripture, and he lives out the scripture. And Daniel has a firm foundation in his identity. Even he was given a Babylonian name, but he never forgot his real identity is Daniel. God is my judge. So I have two questions for us. Do we have a firm foundation for our next generation? And second question is, what can we do to teach, to serve, to equip our next generation to be ready for the secular world like Daniel? Let us pray together. Father God, we pray that thank you for the book of Daniel, and thank you for his faithful testimony. Through Daniel's life, we see both the danger of conforming to the culture around us and the hope that comes from standing firm in faith. We thank you for preserving this account so we can learn from his example and be encouraged by his witness. Apart from you, Lord, we can do nothing. Daniel was, because of your grace and mercy, Daniel was favored. He's able to do well, and he's able to stand against, resist the flow. Father, we pray that you will be present with us in the same way, be with our church, our family, especially for our young people, as they grow up in a culture that often pulls them away from you. Strengthen their heart and establish them firmly in the truth. Help us as parents, as grandparents, as mentor, as church family, to faithfully invest in our next generation. Give us wisdom to teach them, patience to walk alongside with them, and courage to model a life of faith before them. Lord, may we be like Daniel, faithful in our generation, uncompromising in our conviction, and humble in our service. Thank you that you are the same God that Daniel had, and you're the same God with us today. We pray all those things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.